Hi, welcome to the Dr. Dreama Show, inspiration and practical strategy for achieving your dream life. I'm your host, Dr. Dreama. I'm a psychologist and life designer. I'm here to help you design the life you want and deserve. This is Dr. Dreama, and we all know that words matter, right? It's one of those things that we learn from early on that words are like sticks and stones can break your bones, but those other things, they could really get in there. And yet so many of us don't know how to tell our story. We get stuck. We get fearful. We get worried that what we're saying isn't really what I want to say. And if you're in that position, you just might need a writing coach. I'm so pleased to tell you today, we're going to talk to Annalisa Parent, who is exactly that, a writing coach. Welcome, Annalisa.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dreama. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so glad. You know, I know so many people who feel like they've got a novel inside of them, or they have a story that they want to tell, but they don't know how. This is what you work with, right?
Absolutely. I help writers to tell their stories. Sometimes it's a fiction piece, sometimes it's a nonfiction piece, but it's always coming from a deep place inside with a message to share and a story that comes from the heart.
Wonderful. So I'm curious about your process, because I think so many people, when they say, oh, I want to do this, they think about hiring somebody, but then they get scared because they don't know where to start or what to say, or is this really important? Will anybody read this?
Yeah, you have a really good point there. And, you know, that actually is exactly where we start. We start with that fear, because so many writers really struggle with exactly what you just said. Is anyone going to read this? Am I even good enough? Who am I to write this book? Those kinds of questions. And so the very first thing that we deal with is talking about all of those fears that lead to writer's block, and how to get over them, because we have to be able to walk with our fear in order to do this thing. And it takes a lot of stamina to finish an entire book. And, you know, there's a lot of fear along the way. The fear that you feel at the beginning doesn't go away when you finish writing chapter 3. So there have to be some strategies to really work through that. And we offer a lot of strategies, but also a lot of support and just uplifting environments so that writers can get through all of those little stumbling blocks along the way to get their important message out.
I really like what you said there about walking with our fear, because fear doesn't go away, right? We just have to acknowledge, okay, I'm scared to death, but I'm going to do it anyhow.
Exactly. And, you know, that's been the most powerful thing in my work with writers, is to see them say, I'm so scared, and I wrote 9,000 words today. So
wonderful.
That's just amazing to see and hear.
Well, tell me a little bit about your journey. Did you want to be a writer growing up?
Absolutely. So I have been writing since I could, and probably storytelling before that, to my parents' entertainment, I'm sure. I had my first poem published when I was in the fourth grade, so about 9 years old. And I've been hooked really ever since. I published a lot in my younger life, and then I just kept on going as I got older. And so I've written for a lot of different things. I was a journalist for over a decade. I wrote for 3 seasons of comedy television. I've got a book coming out this July for fiction writers on the fiction writing process that I'm really excited about. I'll be presenting that at the Writer's Digest Conference in New York this summer. So
how exciting.
Yeah, writing has me hooked.
So I'm curious, do you remember what your first poem was about when you were in fourth grade?
I believe that it was about, I grew up in the state of New Hampshire, and I believe that it was about how amazing New Hampshire was, something about birch trees, and because I won a contest and I got to read it on the state house lawn, so that was a big deal.
Where are you actually calling from?
I'm in Colorado at the moment.
So how wonderful is this? You're in Colorado, I'm in France, and here we are just chatting like we're next door neighbors over a cup of coffee.
Isn't that great? I love, you know, the internet has opened up an amazing world for people and for entrepreneurs, but it's been such an honor and a privilege, and I'm still baffled when I speak to my client in India and we're talking I just think, my goodness, you know, like, we're not mailing manuscripts back and forth. We're in the same document talking about the same thing, and you're literally half a world away.
It really is amazing.
Amazing.
So let me ask you this. In working, as we were just saying, are you online? Do some of your clients find you online and say, wow, she sounds like exactly the person I need to get this book out?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I just said I'm in Colorado. My normal place of residence is the state of Vermont. I have very few clients that I ever meet in person, at least initially when we're working together. Usually we become friends and we meet up later. But most of my clients, in fact, at this time, all of my clients are people who are thousands of miles away from me, and we speak only via the internet. And all of this technology allows us, as you say, to interact as if we're sitting at the same table sipping coffee, but we're very far away from each other.
Right. Again, technology is so amazing.
Indeed.
I've got a good question for you here, because I have one published book, and I've also written a memoir. And the memoir was really hard for me to write because I wanted it to be brutally honest. I was writing about my son's traumatic brain injury. And I had found that the books out there just seemed to be sort of glossy, feel-good books. And I was like, wow, people, there's a whole other world to brain injury here that I felt like I really wanted to talk about. But I also worried that some of the people reading it would have adverse reactions. Do you come across that a lot?
Authors express that concern frequently, especially when we're talking about memoir, because, you know, they're writing about their mothers or their brothers or whoever, and they're worried that they'll upset someone. At the end of the day, you know, my advice to people is you have to go with what you're most comfortable with. But one of my quote memes that's floating around the internet somewhere is writing that's inauthentic is writing that will be put down. And so, you know, the deeper that you can get, the more real you can be with your reader, the more they'll be able to relate. And in actuality, those are the books that people love. And this makes a lot of sense if we think about sort of people out there in the world, right? I'm sure that everybody has that zany person in their life. They're just kind of out there a little bit. And why do we love that person? We love that person because they're so authentic. They're a little bit kind of crazy, but we love them. They are who they are, you know, versus that person who's a little sycophantic and, you know, they just exude inauthenticity. We can smell that and we don't like that, even if the person is perfectly agreeable. And books work in the same way. We want that rawness of humanity. We demand it in the books that we read. That's what we're going to them for. And so the more real that we can be, the more honest we can be with ourselves and with our readers, the better.
Well, that's great. And I certainly agree with that. And that's sort of where I landed was I'm not writing this book to be liked. I'm writing this book to share it with the people who need to read it, mm-hmm. not the people who just want a feel-good story, because you can read fiction for that. Memoir is not always like that. And it reminds me of Anne Lamott one time, something of hers that I read was like, well, you know, if people are worried that you're going to write about them, maybe they'll act better.
Oh, she's a treasure. I love Anne Lamott. We all do.
And she is exactly that sort of person that you're talking about, I think, that authentic, sort of zany. She's just out there, you know, through her writing, you have a very good sense of who she is as a person, right?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's one of the satisfying things. Once you've gotten your book out into the world, your readers come up to you and they feel like they know you. You know, you wrote about your dog. They say, how's your dog doing? You don't know them, but they have this sense that they really know you, that you're a friend to them because you helped them through something. You know, your book sounds like it had a very powerful message that was meaningful to people and helped people in their lives. You know, you became a friend in that way to them, and you have a special place in their lives because of your message.
Right, right. Now, I'm going to ask a question that I know I probably shouldn't ask. Of your writing, what's your favorite, your own personal writing? I know it's like asking, which is your favorite kid, right?
Exactly. you know, in my fiction life right now, I write women's fiction. And so women's fiction is really light. It's intended to be like an airplane or beach read. And that's really fun because I kind of get to channel some of my frustrations around the female experience in the world. And, you know, my characters kind of get to speak in any way they want to, but sometimes they're a little bit snarky, and that's kind of fun. And to write humor, you know, there's even an episode in one of my recent novels that's very sort of physical comedy, you know, like slipping on a banana peel type of stuff. And so that's just, I mean, it's silly. That's fun to write. And I enjoy being able to play in that way. There's such an aspect of writing and creativity in the brain that is so related to play. And so for me, that feels like play, to be funny and silly and to have them say funny things and do funny things.
That's great. That's great. It sounds like this also goes back to sort of your comedy writing days.
Yes, in some ways it does. You know, I was in charge of sketch comedy, and a lot of what we did was kind of physical comedy. I got tied up in a tree one time. I also got to star in the sketches, so that was kind of fun. Yeah, so I mean, there's just a lot of silliness, and I've got a real heart for that kind of humor and that kind of play.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really nice. So for somebody listening out there who's thinking, gosh, I have an idea, but I don't have anything further, if they were to contact you, where would you encourage them to start? What would be the starting point?
That's a great question. So, you know, that's exactly what I do, is I take people from idea to book. And, you know, obviously there's a genre question there. So we need to know, what are you going to write? But once we've got that established, that's not a totally difficult question. Then we work through a program over the course of 8 weeks together that takes people from idea to finished manuscript. Now, this is not yet a publishable manuscript, but we've got a full first draft. And there's something about having that timeline, right? We all like deadlines, and there's a reason. And you know, having the support there to get it done and to finish it, it really works. And so that's just the process on what we do.
Okay, great. I'm going to ask you if you experience what I do sometimes, because I work with a lot of people around transformation, and we know that making change can be hard, right? It's a challenge.
Absolutely.
So when people are engaged in this process with you, do you find that they come back the following week and they're like, I didn't have time, my dog ate my homework? Do you find some resistance at the beginning of the process?
That's a really interesting question too. And because we deal right away with the fear, that those are the first tools that they get, we don't even write in the first week. We're really just dealing with that fear. How am I going to do this? What are the strategies? Let's get this down. And we set all of that up first. And every single week they have a coach specifically for that task. So they're speaking about, you know, I'm really afraid, or, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to meet my goals for the week. What can I do? And that coach is a specific support person for that emotional aspect. And because we support that so strongly and so deeply, people exceed their goals. For the entire duration of the program, every single participant that we've had has exceeded their goals on a regular basis. I mean, like, to the high 80s, low 90s percentile because of the way that we support that. And then, you know, once we've gotten that fear out of the way, suddenly writing becomes very easy and fun, and it, and you know, that part of their brain opens up because it's not restricted by the fear response in the limbic system anymore.
That's great. And this helps me understand why you are so good at what you do. You obviously have thought this through, experienced it, tweaked the process, and really, really understand how fear can wreak havoc on our best laid plans.
Indeed. You know, and so, you know, too much information about me, but I studied neuroscience and how the brain learns and creates, and I apply that knowledge, you know, I was just talking about the limbic system, like I apply that knowledge directly to what I do, so that really the trick here is that the writer's brain is optimized to do what the writer wants to do.
That's amazing. And I think that is something that a lot of people who go into, who have the idea of, I want to write, but get stuck by the inaction and the fear. And you're talking about, hey, we can figure out how to get around this fear, bypass it. You can walk with your fear and you can do it anyhow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's powerful. And we go from a person who was full of trepidation to a person who's full of confidence. And yes, there was a book written in between there, but that one transformation is huge and powerful.
It really is. I think once we understand what's actually going on in our mind and in our body, that allows us to have access to developing a whole new awareness around it.
Absolutely.
So you have been involved in writing for, well, since you were nine. Did you ever go through a period where you thought, this is not for me, I'm going to go off and be like an ice skater or something?
No, I think writing has been consistent all along. What I've written or how frequently I've written, those certainly have changed for me over time. But I've also had a journal all that time. So I started my first journal when I was in third grade, so 7, 8 years old. You know, mom bought me new sneakers today. and, you know, I have all of those journals and I still keep a journal on a regular basis. So writing for me is a lifestyle. It's a form of expression and it's something that I need. It's not a choice. It's a compulsion. So I think it will always be with me. And if you look at the proportion of writing that I've done in my whole life and how much has actually gotten published, the published part is quite small because I'm writing all the time, every day.
So do you have like a set routine? Do you have anything that you say, okay, this is what I do in the morning, this is what I do in the evening, and here's what I do in between?
Yeah, so I'm a firm believer in doing the most important thing in your life first. And full confession, I am not a morning person, but the most important thing in my life is writing. And so the first 2 hours of my day are spent writing because that's the most important, biggest piece that I've got to get into my life.
I like what you say there. It's the most important piece and you believe it should be done first thing in the morning, even though you're not a morning person.
Yes, because if I save it for, yeah, oh, I'll do that later when I feel like it. Well, guess what?
It doesn't get done, right? It's like all of us who know, we should get up first thing and exercise, or we should do this, and we don't. And yet you're saying, this actually is the most important thing to me. It's more important to me than my feelings about morning.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, the chapter that I've been revising right now has not been cooperating. This chapter is very frustrating. I will tell you that I do not want to sit down and wrestle with this chapter one more time. But, you know, focusing on the victories, you know, the breakthroughs that happen. Like yesterday, I was struggling with this particular section and, oh, I found a way out of that. So it's highly likely that today when I sit down, that section that I'm like, ugh, I'd rather do anything. Like, isn't there a toilet I need to clean? I'm going to sit down today. And even though it feels frustrating right now, by the time I get up, there will have been a victory here. So I need to focus on that.
And let me ask you this, do you celebrate those victories every day?
Absolutely. That's one of the most important parts of what I do as a writer and what we do in our programs for writers is the celebration. You know, everybody wants to celebrate, yay, my book got published. But there were so many things to celebrate before that happened. Like, I sat down at my desk today. I've got a head cold. The last thing I want to do is write. I mean, whatever it is, like, these are victories. You know, I wrote 100 words today. Yes. That wasn't, you know, I wanted to write 1,000, but I had 100 words that I wrote, and they're good words. You know, so just reframing the way that we look at victory and celebration is really important to, you know, sitting down. Because if I sat down every day and said to myself, oh, that section, I hate that section, my writing would not come across in a positive way. I wouldn't feel good about it. Instead, if I sit down and I say, okay, this might be tough today, but yesterday I got through it, and I was satisfied with the solution that I found in this one paragraph. So today I'm going to look for those opportunities to get out of, you know, fumble through the weeds, as it were, to find some clarity in what it is that I'm trying to say here. And that's a victory. And I need to celebrate that really small victory. If I can't celebrate those small victories, then I can't celebrate the big victories.
I love your philosophy because I share it, because that's just one of the things that I think is just so important. Because, like you said, everybody wants to celebrate because the book got published. But that book getting published had 10,000 steps along the way.
Yeah.
And yeah, celebrating. You know, it just sort of keeps us in a positive frame of mind when I can say, what did I get done today? And then I can be like, good for me. Because yes. I could have chosen to go ahead and scrub the toilet instead of writing or instead of whatever it is that I know that I want to do. But if we don't celebrate those things, if we don't acknowledge them, they fall by the wayside. And then we just start looking at, well, if I'm only looking and celebrating big things, we don't have big things happen to us every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, just going back to the brain science element, I mean, we're programmed to focus on what's not working. That's our survival instinct. And so, you know, we have to get into that discipline of, you know, I'm not going to die. There are no tigers in my office, so I don't need to do that. That's not serving me right now. What I need to do is focus on what is working so that I can continue to make progress.
You got it. That's absolutely true. Annalisa, I really thank you for being here today, because I think there are so many people out there listening who are like, they know they have a book inside of them. And to realize that there are people like you who are out there who know the process start to finish, from idea to publication, I think gives a lot of people some hope that they too can get their book out.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So if people want to find you, find out more about your process, more about your coaching, where can they find you?
Sure. My website is Date, like what you go out on a Saturday night, with the Muse, datewiththemuse.com. And they can find out more about me. And I'm really happy to talk to people about their projects, what they've got going on, where they'd like to go in their projects. So if people want to drop themselves right into my calendar, I'd love to talk to them about what they're writing. And they can do that at datewiththemuse.com/bookacall.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Annalisa. I really appreciate your time.
Oh my gosh, Dr. Dreama, this has been a pleasure. And it's always so wonderful to find someone who shares my philosophy on life. So thank you.
We have been talking with Annalisa Parent, who is a writing coach, and she is great at helping you walk through your fear and get your story out. So check her out, datewiththemuse.com. You know, again, your words matter. Your story matters. If you've got a story inside of you, then start today. Start with where you are and move forward, because that's the only way to embrace life. This is Dr. Dreama. We'll be talking again soon.